Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. The Titans taking on the Raiders, looking for two wins in a row. I know, crazy. Two wins in a row. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, I mean, you look at the schedule, and it feels like, you know, opportunities for Titans wins, they don't get a whole lot better than going on the road to take on the Raiders. So, as you look at this matchup, particularly with the uncertainty surrounding Brock Bowers right now, how do you view the Titans' chances of getting two wins in a row, which feels like it's been an eternity since that's happened?
Yeah, it's been 3 years, so I was guessing they're due. But I think you mentioned it, the Brock Bowers situation, that's really going to have a lot of impact. If he's not able to go, then they really, really got to make sure that they do everything they can to make the Raiders, make them one-handed, right? Take away the run game. They do like to find ways to get Ashton Jeanty easy touches, but in the passing game. But if you could like make that run game go away and put the ball in Geno Smith's hands, he's not having a good moment right now. So I think that's the key to winning.
So on the injury front, on the other side, TD, J.C. Latham, obviously they've been careful with him. It's, you know, it sounded like potentially he could have played last week, but you want to try to be sure. But can you be sure with an injury like this? I mean, how much concern is there just that and when he's really going to start now playing real football and smashing into guys that this might flare up again? It might just be like a season-long story. Or do you feel like, you know, like there's confidence that maybe he's actually past it and he can really get going on this second season?
Yeah, I think there's some concern, but the concern has kind of dwindled as they've allowed time to go on. But for me, when I look at this, you know, you're going against Max Crosby, right? You're a right tackle. It's your right hip, your outside hip that's hurting. And that's the one, like, when you get that true kick step, like, that's the one that's landing as you kick. You know, you're kicking back off your left and you're landing on your right, and then you're resetting. And that's going to be a pretty jolting type of, experience for his right hip that is injured. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I think, you know, looking at Crosby, there's a guy that brings it on every snap, so there aren't going to be any snaps off, so to speak, and it's something where he told me that there's a pain threshold that he has to, you know, be able to withstand, but like you said, everybody is going through that right now, so I think he does play this weekend.
So, TD, you mentioned the Raiders trying to get Ashton Jeanty involved in the passing game. The numbers would suggest that the Titans aren't using running backs in the passing game hardly at all right now. I think they're the lowest targeted running back group in the league to this point. Do you expect that to significantly change with Tajay Spears working his way back into the fold?
Yeah, I do. And Randy Jordan, he talked yesterday about just how he's, you know, just an open space eater and his explosiveness and in the screen game. And I mean, you go back, you look at the Jaguars game. Remember, he caught that screen, man. He scooted down like into the low red zone. Yeah, he almost scored. You know what I mean? So it's pretty clear, you know, when you get him in the game, there's an explosiveness that's added. Of course, last week, you didn't really see it to the fullest. I mean, the man was back for the first time in a while, and he still doesn't, well, at least last week, didn't fully look him like himself, you know, running through individual period. But it's a matter of time. He'll be fine, and I think he will help it.
So, TD, what does the fourth quarter, in your mind, do for Cam Ward? Obviously, he was not having a good game. He had a 193-yard fourth quarter, some unbelievable throws. Sometimes stuff like that happens. I mean, so many crazy things happen as part of that, too, to even make it possible. But, like, do you look at that as, okay, that's a clear step forward? He should be able to build on that, or more that it's, you know, basically an anomaly? And how important is this week, I guess, to demonstrate one way or the other?
Yeah, it's a clear step forward. Brian Callahan acknowledged that. And I think really the thing is, it showed, okay, he could do it. And this is something now where you have a stretch of 13 plays where you could say, hey, look, these are examples of when you do it right. Whereas before it was like, okay, one play here, another there, so on and so forth. I think that's the big thing, and also that it came in the fourth quarter. And Brian Callahan, as he said, you want your quarterback to be at his best when his best is required. And he said that, you know, it was a great step, but the next step is to do that from the first quarter through the fourth quarter. And I think that's the magic that Brian Callahan has to figure out how to work. And not just Callahan, Cam Ward himself, you know. And I think when you look at the throws, you know, he was on time with those three big throws, man. You look at the 47-yarder to Calvin Ridley, and it was the read was beautiful. And I almost, and Jake and I were talking about this yesterday, I almost think that was a clear out route, because you had Calvin Ridley running the seam, and then Tyler Lockett was running the dig route, right? And the dig was just coming underneath the seam, but for whatever reason, the safety jumped the dig, and you know, that's one of those things where it's like, you want the ball to come out fast, so you tell him, look, man, read the safety. He drifts back, you hit the dig, he jumps the dig, you go over his head, one or the other, and it's a quick, easy read, and that's what happened.
So, TD, what has Cedric Gray shown you these last couple weeks here in terms of the player that he's developing into and where he could ultimately land here?
Man, that guy right there, he has what I call a GPS for the football, man. He's going to find it, you know, and I think what he's showing is the fact that the game is slowing down for him mentally, and things are happening faster for him on the fly. And it kind of sounds like an oxymoron when it's slowing down and happening faster. But what I mean by that is he's able to see everything and diagnose it. And then when he diagnoses, he triggers it and he goes and gets it. And fortunately, he's, you know, not guessing, but he's been shooting the right gaps, right, and doing the right thing. But there's going to be time where they try to misdirect him. You know, that's what they do against these linebackers like him that are so good at finding the football and triggering, et cetera. So, yeah, he's been balling, man. Got the dirty player, dirty man, or whatever it is, dirty player of the week award, and he had the black jersey on. He was excited about that. Jeffrey Simmons, you know, was excited for him and said they need to get 11 of those. So we'll see what happens.
You know, you think about him and you think about last year, how much of a non-factor was. Obviously, he was hurt. But even, you know, even last year was kind of like, man, but that's a, you know, where he got picked and you're not seeing anything. I'm looking at Oladejo right now and TD, and I'm just, you know, I'm not seeing much at all. Like, it was a project when he was drafted. We already talked about that. But I guess I still would hope that a project would still start to do some things on the field as a rookie, as a second-round pick. I mean, it's just in this league, second-round picks usually start, and if they're good picks, they make a difference. What are you seeing from him, from Oladejo, and you know, what's fair for him here the rest of this season in terms of expectations?
Yeah, his reps have gone up and down. But, I mean, yeah, he may not be doing much as far as sacking the quarterback, but he's gotten some pressures. I saw one play where he jacked the tight end up into the running back and, you know, got a tackle that way. He sets the edge aggressively. He's doing what they're asking him to do. Now, obviously, you would want to get more QB takedowns, and, you know, I think that's where he has to improve and get better. And it's with time. You know, he's working with Ben Bloom, with Lori Locus, you know, on different techniques and how to, you know, develop moves and things like that. I don't know what to say as far as if there was a number to expect from him, but I think at some point he has to be a more impactful rusher, just affecting the quarterback. You know what I mean? And like I said, there were some times where, you know, he made the quarterback step up and someone else got the tackle, the sack. But for the most part, he's good against the run, you know. But you don't need that with a second-round pick. You need more. So I will agree that they need more from him, and I would say just give it time and allow him to continue to develop.
So, TD, Geno Smith has already thrown 9 picks this year in 5 games. And I know, you know, not all of them are his fault, but if you're the Titans defense and you're seeing that, like, how do you – How do you balance the temptation to be like super aggressive, looking to force the interception, while also making sure you're not getting absolutely torched the other way trying to jump routes?
Well, I think it's just that. Don't force anything. And that's what it, like with this game, when you force things, that's when bad things happen. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, you make the plays that come to you. Don't jump, you know, too aggressively any routes or anything like that, because that's how you get knocked on the double moves. But I think there's going to be chances. They got to try to confuse them, you know, pre and post snap looks, you know, those types of things.
You think we'll see more of Kevin Winston on defense and packages moving forward here, TD?
I would imagine it's hard to tell. I think, you know, he's a guy that's eventually going to be their matchup guy against tight ends. But I know they were really happy what he did special teams-wise. Talking to him, you know, in the locker room on Wednesday, he wouldn't say whether he would get more or not. He's definitely hoping. But, you know, he just said it's up to the coaches. And I haven't really gotten anything as far as whether or not it'll get ramped up. They're going to get him involved at some point, but it's a process.
TD, I'd just like to point out this week, Titans won a game with you in the building. Preds won a game with you in the building. You're Nashville's good luck charm. Keep it up, buddy.
Hey, man, listen, I do what I can to help out, man.
Soccer team's going to be looking for you, man.
That's right. You better watch out.
who's going to be looking for me?
Soccer team. They're going to get your services. You're going to be recruited out there.
Hey, you know, I'm a man of the people. No sport is immune from me, so.
Well, TD, enjoy yourself in Vegas this weekend. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Teron Davenport joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Interesting stuff there from TD in the matchup against the Raiders. We'll kind of drill down on that with Rex Road coming up next. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All of that is ahead. Speaking of the Titans and the Raiders, you can hang with Titans fans, including the crew from 102.5 The Game. I've seen some pictures, and Jason Big Joe already out there having a big time at Overhang Bar at Circa. Drink specials are included, plus giveaways, including two tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football games. Monday night matchups are the Bills taking on the Falcons and the Bears and the Commanders. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30, and we will get into the Titans, the Vols, and a busy weekend of football coming up. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. Joe, I mean, as TD said, it's been 3 years since the Titans won back-to-back games, man. There's an opportunity this weekend for that to happen. And the Raiders have played very poorly so far this year. I mentioned Geno Smith. You know, Geno Smith, through five games, has already thrown 9 interceptions. I mean, that is an incredible amount of interceptions in 9 games here. So, again, if you go back and look at them, not all of them are his fault. The offensive line has not played great in front of Geno Smith. You know, they've had some problems all across the board with the Raiders, which is why they're 1-4. And Titans fans are familiar with that. But an opportunity here for Cam Ward, the offense, and this team as a whole to show some meaningful progress, right? To build on what you saw in the fourth quarter. And again, like, Cam Ward's not going to throw for 190 yards every quarter. I understand that. But can you avoid just long stretches in the game where nothing is going on offensively, which has been the case the last 2 weeks against the Texans and against the Cardinals? It's been the case at different points all year, right? Like, this needs to be Cam Ward and the offense's best game that we've seen to this point coming up this weekend. And if it's not, I will be very disappointed by that.
Yeah, he needs to build on that. Like, I agree with what TD said, clear step forward. I mean that was winning a game with some massive throws and massive production in the fourth quarter, regardless of the situation, has to be considered a step forward. And look, frankly, the way he had been performing, like, it wouldn't even have taken that much to do something that would be considered a step forward, right? So, but I think it was a real one. And so, can you build on it, and can you Is there any carryover? Is there any such thing as momentum when it comes to that? I think there is definitely momentum when it comes to confidence for a young quarterback, but you got to be able to give him a chance. And listening to TD talk about, you think about like the specifics of the right hip, the pass set, Max Crosby bearing down on you. That to me is where, the Titans just can't let that guy is good enough to wreck games. Like game wrecker is used too frequently. It's applied to too many people. But guys like Crosby and Myles Garrett, like those guys actually like destroy offenses at times in given weeks, and just like make them it just make them so discombobulated because they have to deal with them that it screws everything up. So can't let him wreck the game. And obviously you have to think about what kind of help. I mean, look, it'd be great. JC Latham, a guy that goes seventh in the draft, that's a guy you want to be able to say, you know what? He can hold his own over there. He's gonna get beat sometimes, but for the most part, we don't have to help him every single snap. Given the hip, I mean, I'm guessing that the help is gonna be shifted that way a lot, which of course leaves the man door with no ornaments on it.
Well, very nicely done.
Thank you.
Well, and then the other part of this that we've not talked about today, Ridley, right? Ridley looked pretty good last week. What's he look like this week? Like, is Ridley about to round into a form where he is a consistent performer week to week? And it doesn't have to be 130 yards every week, but is he a guy that is productive for the Titans on a week in, week out basis? This offense, to me, as currently constructed, can't really survive if he's not. Like, if he's not a guy that's making plays for them every week, it's going to be tough for them to move the ball, tough for them to score points. I mean, good Lord, it's tough for them to move the ball and score points when he is. So, like, they need him to be, they need last week to be basically his light bulb moment of the year, where it comes on and he plays pretty well from here on out.
Yes. And of course, he's still dependent on the rookie QB, So, like, there's still, if you're him, there's still some dependence on the offense to function and the quarterback to get you the ball. I can't help but think of AJ Brown, who looked very sad last night as the Eagles got blown out by the Giants. But you look at like them. I mean, AJ Brown's a great player, but there are weeks when his production would not suggest that, So, like, Ridley's got to have his quarterback's got to give him the ball, but he had so many drops early. And as we know, there's just been some things that have been out of whack with him at times. So if that's the start of something, then, maybe you got something. I think, throwing to Gunnar Helm more is a good idea. I it
Yeah.
just seems like whenever that guy gets a chance to make a play, he makes a play. You give him more chances.
We did have a texter earlier talking about AJ Brown and how unhappy he looks in Philadelphia right now, and playing out like the doomsday scenario for Amy Adams Strunk is if Philadelphia just sours on him and trades him to New England by this time next week, and he comes in with Vrabel and just beats the Titans' butt. Like, Amy might sell the team at that point.
Oh my gosh, Vrabel and AJ. Well, shoot, one of the stars last night for the Giants. What about? Is there any way? Like, I don't even know who Vrabel. Who is? Oh yeah, it's Big T, right? It's Vrabel's DC, right? Who obviously is
Yeah.
going through health. But, I was gonna say, like, can Vrabel like lift Shane Bowen off that Giants staff? Bring him with him too. Like, who else can come in here?
I tell you one person he doesn't want, and that is Adoree Jackson.
Oh,
Good
jeez.
grief. He's awful.
That non-tackle attempt at the goal line, like, Kirk Herbstreit, he doesn't, he's pretty careful about, he doesn't really, he's not really critical. I think he does a good job, but he's gentle. You know what I mean? Like calling out players, criticizing players on broadcast. And he was like, what the hell?
He's
Basically.
terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, man. Well, I know he, and they're trying to keep him off the field, but injuries put him back on the field. So, yeah. And then when you're trying to deal with the great Cam Scadaboo,
Yeah.
who all of you who ripped me during draft time owe me an apology. Some of you have given the apologies, but I'm keeping notes on all of you who aren't. So keep them coming today, folks. You're trying to get away with that dude, you might be in trouble. My goodness, what a beast.
So we'll see if the Eagles can hold off the temptation to trade AJ Brown to the Patriots between now and next week.
God, I hadn't even thought. That's an amazing thought.
It's like, oh my God, it's Vrabel and AJ Brown coming into Nissan Stadium.
And I'll sit like if they got AJ Brown and like Diggs actually looks pretty good this year, how good would they be?
Pretty
Jeez.
darn good, man.
That's kind of terrifying.
Vrabel be making the playoffs. in his first year, which I'm sure would go over well around here. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. We got the Vols in action against the Hogs this weekend. Titans going for win number 2 in a row against the Raiders. And a whole lot more football. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time for Pigskin Pick'em here on the program. First, a standings update in the competition. Robbie Stanley, myself, Joe Rex Road, both 3-3 with no lock last week. Ian Safar, 2-4, also did not get his lock. So nobody picked up a lock last week, which brings the overall standings to this. Ian Safar, remaining in first place, 20-16 overall, 3-3 on his locks, good for 23 points. Joe Rexrode, 17-19 overall, a 5-1 record on the locks, which is very well done by Rexrode, 22 points, just one behind Ian Safar. I'm like full Costanza at this point. It's amazing. 17-19 overall. The big Ofer, 0-6 on my locks, which is astounding that I've been able to pull that off to this point. 17 points. So some work to do on my front to get back into the competition. We begin with Arkansas and Tennessee. Bobby Petrino, hopefully not on a motorcycle, riding into Neyland Stadium tomorrow. The Hogs will be called, I'm sure, by some people in the stadium. Tennessee, a 12.5 point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Ian Safar, you are in first place, so we begin with you. Who do you got between the Hogs and the Vols?
Okay. I mean, Tennessee coming off off the bye week here. I am going to take Tennessee minus 12.5. I think they'll get it done. Two touchdowns, I think, is doable.
Joe Rexrode, Tennessee, 12.5 points on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
As Ian said, Tennessee coming off an idle or off week, which are the two acceptable terms for what they just came off of. I'm close to locking this one, but I'm gonna hold off just because, yeah, I think Petrino will probably have some stuff, and who knows, maybe he's, you know, gonna show the team like an Evel Knievel like movie tonight or something to get them all jacked up. So I will go with the Vols. I won't lock them down.
I will. Vols lock.
Yeah.
Lock it down on the Vols. I'm sorry to all my fellow Tennessee fans. I'm sorry to Josh Heupel. Sorry to Joey Aguilar. I'm sorry to a lot of people. But I'm locking down on the Vols, minus the 12.5. Joe, I said it earlier. I haven't been able to shake the feeling all week that they're just going to destroy Arkansas. So we'll see how it goes. Coming to tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. The Tennessee Titans on the road at the Giant Roomba to take on the Las Vegas Raiders. A 4.5 point favorite are the Raiders in this game. Joe Rexrode, your take on the Titans and the Raiders.
Yeah. Titans, incredible win, incredible loss also as part of that win. But they got a win. And Cam Ward did some special stuff in the fourth quarter. And so now they have this great opportunity, and the Raiders aren't good, and they're missing their best offensive player. And I'll go with the Raiders.
That was a long way to get back to the Raiders there. Good stuff. Joe going with the Raiders minus the 4.5. Give me the Tennessee Titans to cover and the Tennessee Titans to win outright. Oh boy. Monday morning, we're going to be talking about 2 wins in a row for the Tennessee Titans. Now, I'm not going to go crazy with this and get all cocky about it because I did that against the Colts and the Titans got destroyed. So I'm not doing that again. But I will take the Titans to win, and I will definitely take them plus the 4.5. I think the Raiders are terrible. Ian, Raiders favored by 4.5.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm also going to take the Titans to cover the 4.5.
Yeah, baby.
I do think the Raiders are pretty cheeks right now. Brock Bowers still pretty banged up. You know, Snead's playing well and playing, so hopefully that will take away one of the outside guys. Maybe Genty has a great game, but, you know, nobody runs on the Titans. give me the Titans to cover 4.5.
I like it. Titans covering the 4.5. We move to the individual portion of the program. Give me the Alabama Crimson Tide minus 3.5 on the road against Missouri. I think Alabama with another statement win on the road, and it's going to set up, in my opinion, a pretty high-level matchup between Alabama and Tennessee next week. So I'll take Alabama minus 3.5 on the road against Missouri. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with an over-under on this one. College, Oregon, Indiana, over 53.5.
53.5. Taking the over in the matchup between Oregon and Indiana. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
I will also hit that game first in a more traditional way. Indiana and Oregon. Oregon is home -7.5. Indiana is really good, and all credit to Cignetti and the boys. And, you know, Fernando Mendoza is a good quarterback. Oregon, I think, might be the best team in college football, and they're at home. And I think they're going to win this game by double figures. So give me Oregon -7.5.
Going Oregon -7.5. And you know what? I had that one too, so I'll just go ahead and get my second pick out of the way. Give me Oregon -7.5 against Indiana. Rexrode, your second individual selection.
Okay. Red River rivalry. Now, you got to help me. You know, I want to make sure that I have the line correct because I know I'm a tier and everything, but what I saw last was Texas -1.5. Oklahoma, Texas.
It is now flipped. It is okay. Oklahoma -1.5.
It is flipped now. Okay.
Yes.
So Texas is getting 1.5. That doesn't change my pick. I'm going to go with the Sooners all the way. I think they're going to win this game. Also by double figures. So give me the Sooners. And you know what? Make it by lock.
Going.
Guarantee.
Going Oklahoma -1.5 against Texas in the Red River rivalry and locking down on it. They lose that game. Not going to be good around Texas and Arch Manning. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
Okay. I got a couple of options here, but I think I'm actually going to go a little bit of the opposite Vrabel special here. Coming off the win, going to New Orleans, the Saints are a little bit better. I'm going to lock down the Saints +3.5 versus the Patriots.
Saints +3.5 against the Patriots. Ian locking down on the New Orleans Saints. I love it. Ian, your third individual selection.
This one I've been also kind of going back and forth on here. There's a few other NFL games that kind of stick out. There's one college game that kind of sticks out. I think I'm going to take Seattle +1.5 at Jacksonville to win that game.
Seahawks +1.5. Against Duval and the mighty Jaguars, who are riding high right now. Joe Rexrode, your third individual selection.
Well, let me go right at Ian and flip it around. I got the Patriots rolling over the lowly Saints. Give me the Patriots -3.5 on the road.
Going Patriots -3.5 against the New Orleans Saints down there in Louisiana, and we'll see if Vrabel gets a nice win before coming back to Nissan Stadium next week. Give me the Detroit Lions +2.5 against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Lions are going to win, and they're going to drop Kansas City to 2-4. 2-4 will be Kansas City's record. Give me Detroit +2.5, Joe Rexrode. What do you think about that?
No way, man. That is not a 2-4 football team. They beat the Lions by double digits.
Jeez. No respect. No respect for the Lions whatsoever.
They're good. I got respect for the Chiefs, man. They're going to win that division again after all this crap, after all that's gone on, which is amazing.
Rexrode, your final individual selection.
Okay, back to college. Iowa State at Colorado. Colorado getting 2.5 at home. I think Iowa State wins that game by, you know, about 7 to 10 points. So give me Iowa State -2.5 on the road.
On Iowa State -2.5 on the road against Colorado. Iowa State continuing to navigate the nation's toughest schedule, and we'll see if they can handle it out there in Colorado.
That's right.
And get a nice victory. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Okay, I'm going to stick with this philosophy here. Bills coming off the loss, didn't play very well against the Patriots, are at Atlanta for Monday Night Football, I think I see. Are Bills -4.5? I think I'm going to take the Bills to beat Atlanta by a touchdown. So I'll take Bills -4.5 versus Atlanta Monday Night Football.
Going Bills on Monday Night Football -4.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. Give me the Bake Show and the Bucks -3 against the San Francisco 49ers. Now these are like, you know, the type of games that San Francisco wins, and you know, Mac Jones been playing good, and they got Brock Purdy and Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan coaching his butt off so far this year. But I tell you what, Emeka Egbuka is like really, really, really good. Like really good. Baker Mayfield is really good. And I've got the Bucs minus the 3. And we're going to start talking about, is Tampa Bay potentially the best team in the NFC? We're going to be talking about it after this week. I'll take Tampa Bay minus 3 against the 49ers.
Yep, we've had Green Bay, we've had the Lions, we've had the Eagles, and I think the Bucs deserve to be in that discussion. They play at the Lions, I think, Monday Night Football next week, which is a good one as the Lions come off a tough loss at Kansas City.
I almost took the Colts minus 7.5 versus Arizona. That was definitely –
I thought about it too.
That was definitely up there. I don't think Kyler Murray has practiced yet this week. Might be, you know, beef
brisket. Call of Duty out?
Maybe. Might be beef brisket in there versus his former team. Clemson, I don't know. What do you think? Clemson minus 14.5 versus Boston College?
I thought about that one too.
I thought about that. That was on my list.
What the heck does North Carolina play this week?
I think they're actually – are they off this week?
I think they must be off. Yeah, they must be off. Because it would, yeah.
Yeah, they are. Like,
boy, what a real treat that is. That whole situation. I mean, it's getting like the whole tweeting the Drake May stuff. We talked about that, right? My God.
Oh yeah.
Let's not tweet anything about the Patriots. I mean, it's truly embarrassing.
Well, the next time we get to see them, Friday, a week from today, 9:30, kickoff. North Carolina at Cal on the road, baby. Staying up late to watch Bill Belichick play some football out there. If he's still there by that time, which he may not be.
I mean, probably not. I have no idea. Like, there's talk. There's talk out there that he's looking for the exit hatch. I don't know, man. What a disaster. By the way, can I do a quick shout out here?
Sure.
Dane Fernald's pointing out Mill Creek Middle School, the Mill Creek Mavericks, state semifinals today in volleyball. Go get them. Go get them, Mavericks.
There we go. Go Mavericks. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on the Titans and the Raiders, the Hogs and the Vols. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Tomorrow's college football game of the week, South Carolina taking on number 11 LSU. That's 645 on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Joe, the Vols hosting Arkansas tomorrow. Bobby Petrino coming in. All of us taking the Vols in that one. 12.5-point favorite. They're coming off the bye week. Now, Arkansas coming off the bye week, too, with the coaching change. So that's an interesting wrinkle thrown into that one tomorrow. It's a day where Tennessee's offense should, and I remind you, should really be productive. I mean, Arkansas just gave up 56 to Notre Dame. Tennessee's offense has looked pretty good all year long to this point. The passing attack in particular has looked very good. Chris Brazel looks like one of the best receivers in America so far this year. So can Tennessee's offense keep it up, and can you establish the running game a little bit better tomorrow than you did last time out against Mississippi State? But, you know, I mean, Tennessee's scored into the 40s every game so far, Joe. So we'll see if they can keep that going.
Yeah, look, I expect them to continue to roll on offense. You've had this extra time to work, you know, tinker with some stuff. Are we going to start seeing, like, David's, you know, you don't want to put too much on, like, a freshman offensive lineman, but is his presence, David Sanders' presence, does that start to mean more as things move forward? You know, three really good backs. I think that was more an anomaly. I think you're going to see a balanced offense in the Vols. And I think you're going to see some points from Arkansas too, but I just don't think that they can keep up in this game. I mean, I have the same feeling you do. I don't know if that's good or bad for your Vols, but I think they're going to end up winning this pretty comfortably.
Yeah, it's making me more nervous the more we talk about it. It really is. Really is. We'll see what happens there. But, like, you know, to your point, home game, it's the only home game you have the entire month of October. You're on the road at Alabama, on the road at Kentucky the next two times out. So, you know, the next home game after this one will be Oklahoma on November the 1st. So it's a while before they're back at home again. So, you know, typically under Heupel, they've played really well at home. We're going to find out, I think, a lot about Tennessee's defense. Arkansas's got a good offense. Taylen Green's playing pretty well at the quarterback position. And Tennessee's defense, you know, obviously against Mississippi State, they made some huge plays, scoring two touchdowns in the game. And they've made some opportunistic plays that way. It has not been the Tennessee defense from a year ago. I don't think that there's any question about that. So, you know, as they get healthier, you know, Hobbs coming back in, you got another, you know, couple weeks since Moy getting fully healthy back in there, as they're getting some more bodies back, how much better do they look? And still without Jermaine McCoy, and we're reaching mid-October. So what's that going to end up looking like?
Yeah, and certainly Moy and Hobbs both in there. That should absolutely matter. you do wonder on the – I mean, I almost – you know, with McCoy, I mean, I feel like, yes, there are definitely people who think he is a first-round corner. I don't know that he can sit a whole year and count on going in the first round.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like – I mean, I think the Vols are going to be – I think the Vols are going to be playing relevant football. Like, if they somehow fell off, you could see a scenario where it's like, well, you know, we'll see at the combine. We'll get working out. But considering that they're going to be in some high-leverage games here in the next few weeks, you figure you get him back, even if not Gibson. And just McCoy back would be
– big deal.
Would be a big, big deal for sure. Big boost to that. You know, and those guys have played pretty well, but obviously you've seen more mistakes as the season's gone on.
Well, and Colton Hood looks really good. Like, Colton Hood looks like a player for them. But, like, if your three corners that are out there consistently when he's back end up being McCoy, Hood, and then Boo Carter, like, you feel pretty good about that if you're Tennessee.
Exactly. And, you know, the Boo Carter thing. It seems like things have calmed down.
No, for now.
Nothing from his mom lately, as far as I know. All right, everybody's okay?
I think she said something on Facebook last week. I can't remember what it was. Okay. But Vol Twitter went with it.
They just going to let it go?
No, they went with it. I just can't remember what it was because I'm old.
Well, I mean, it just seems like maybe as time goes on, you see just a little bit more impact from him too. You know, I mean, you've already seen some. I mean, the guy is absolutely a talent, but maybe there's a little bit more Boo Carter impact overall on this team if things have chilled a little bit.
Joe, if we show up to the program on Monday morning and we're talking about a second consecutive Titans win, what's that vibe going to be like? What do you think that means for Brian Callahan, Amy Adams Strunk, Cam Ward, and the like?
I guess it means a false sense of security before Vrabel comes in here and rains hellfire on them. might actually be the worst case scenario. Everybody's like, hey, this isn't so bad. This might be all right. Come on in, Mike. But no, look, that game, we joke about it, but that Vrabel game is, you know how important that is to Amy. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Like, obviously, any confidence, any momentum, any positivity whatsoever that you can scrounge together going into that game would be a big thing. I mean, look, the Patriots are a big win against Buffalo. Drake May, I think, is a talent. He's up and down. He's erratic, but he's a talent. But, like, that team's beatable, you know?
Sure.
So, I know I'm already moving past this week, but I'm just saying, like, that's not a foregone conclusion what will happen that game. If the Titans actually do play well, win a second straight game, and it's clear that, okay, they've taken a step, well, then I think you might be looking at an interesting one when the Vrabes does show up.
Well, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Should be some fun football action this weekend. Hopefully the Titans can get it done and win back-to-back games. I don't even know if we'd know what to do with ourselves around here if that's the case. We'll have it all covered for you coming up on Monday morning. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. The Preds are back at it tomorrow as well at home against the Utah Mammoth. Looking for a 2-0 start. Wouldn't that be something? Could be a weekend full of winning around here. We'll see what happens on that front. Joseph, we'll see you Monday morning.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Hope everybody has a good weekend. Next man up with Jake Lyman is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.